Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Greetings and greetings to everybody, brothers and sisters around this planet, people listening on the podcast. A few things. Rebecca Jernigan has just gone off to Egypt. She will be flying away either tonight or she was already gone. So we wish her a very bon voyage and all safety and protection as she goes out there. We'll be doing some. I'll be having a very interesting guest on Tuesday, unless our equivalent in the UK of the NDAA Act gets him. It'll be very interesting. I have a very extreme whistleblower. That's going to be very interesting. And tonight, I have no particular guest, although I do have a little pre-recorded vignette for your delectation later. Tonight I was wanting to talk about Paul McCartney, and you see me posting in the things, Paul McCartney, and I'm like, what's Jeremy going on about this manual? Paul McCartney, what's all that about? Well, it all goes to back to a story that I heard, when I was, 16, was that, I was about, 15, 16, is my first band, you know, bunch of teenagers making a horrible noise. We had a drummer, and we always thought he was a bit kind of cracked, and he came up with these funny little stories, and one of them was that Paul McCartney was dead, and that he'd been replaced by a double, and there was a big kind of cover-up, and, you know, we didn't believe him at the time, because we were just kids, and it was a kind of mainstream thing, and it's been in the back of my mind ever since then. And a couple of years ago, I came across a website. Actually, it was somebody who we met through the Project Information Generation who alerted me to the official Paul is Dead site. And I thought, well, that's a bit weird. And then I started investigating, and what I thought at first was a completely unfounded rumor turned out to have a lot more kind of bones to it. I discovered various sites on the web, and you know, there's like paulisdead.com, paulisalive.com. You know, there's a kind of counter movement towards it by true believers, and that there's also a Paul Really Is Dead site. Paul Really Is Dead site is a video which is a DVD you can buy. I bought a copy, but you can actually see it yourself on Vimeo. Vimeo is a kind of YouTube site, and they've always been you can have longer movies on it and things like that. It's really good. Anyway, on Vimeo, you can see this film. You can just search for it. Paul McCartney Really Is Dead. This film is based on the arrival of two tapes and a dictaphone in the producer's office sometime in, I think it was around 2005. And what was his name? Oh, it'll come to me. Joel Gilbert, that's right. Joel Gilbert in Highway 61 Productions. Anyway, so he had this this tape, and or there's two, you know, two little dictaphones. You know, there's tiny little things, and the dictaphone that, that it was made with. And they were sellotaped to a piece of cardboard, and they were sent in a jiffy bag from England, covered in stamps and postmarks and stuff. So he was in Los Angeles, by the way, and they listened to this thing and really not believing it, because it claimed to be George Harrison's last testament. It claimed to be George speaking himself, and describing what the whole conspiracy and cover-up was all about. And it really... There are various Beatles mysteries. The first one was, you know, why did they suddenly stop? Why did they stop, touring? Why did they stop playing in, you know, to people? And why did they start... doing all this experimental stuff and backwards and all these backwards things and the weird sounding stuff, and then it got all very kind of multicolored, and then it went a bit bizarre. There was one album that were covered in bits of meat and dead baby dolls and things with heads ripped off. It got a bit macabre, and so it seems that to be that there are various mysteries. And when you look into it, and you watch this film and listen to the account, it does seem to have a kind of logic to it. It does seem to fit the facts and the evidence of our own history is what happened. Now, why do I think this is significant? Why do I care? Well, number one, I've always liked the Beatles. I grew up with them, as a lot of English kids did in the 1960s, it was part of the background of my sister and my brother liked the Beatles, and my sister, I think she even went to see them once. And one of the first vinyl records I had was a copy of Magical Mystery Tour EP. My first ever EP that I played on my Danset player. Vinyl records. Yes. Anyway, I had this this thing. And the music had this particular quality that it was haunting. And now we know why. Anyway, so... I've had this thing in the back of my mind. And then there was always this... this funny thing. You know, you look at the picture of the four Beatles, and yeah, they seem all together. The original, between 66, 62 and 66. In fact, they've got two albums, one 62 to 66 and one 67 to 70. And it's worthwhile studying the two covers, because you look at the two covers, and there's these four guys looking from the balcony, and on the first one, you see this guy, and you see all the rest, all the band, John, Paul, John, George, Ringo, and Paul there. And on the second one, I think is the red one, the Paul character looks completely different, and the eyes are really scary eyes. They're not that lovely, warm, soft brown that the original McCartney had. And you can see that his face is a completely different shape. For a start, his brow is like massive. Real Paul McCartney had a very low head, and this guy has a huge forehead, massive forehead. Although his eyes are a little bit droopy like Paul's, they're not quite. So, what happens? What was the story? And, I think what I'll do is play the vignette that I recorded earlier. And this is from a man that I met on Facebook. I was talking about this sort of stuff. And he gives his angle on it. I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, but this is his take on it. So this is Phil Freedom. I'm just going to go and play the tape now. Where did I put it? I know where it is. No, I don't. I don't know, it is. It's all the way up there. There we are. Because my system crashed earlier, I lost this. So let's play this vignette. It's about 15 minutes, and we'll come back with come back afterwards.
Okay.
And we're listening to Philip Freethinker calling all the way from the north of England. How are you doing, mate?
Oh, not too bad. Nice to speak with you.
Yeah. So whereabouts exactly are you?
In the centre of Northumberland.
Northumberland.
Yeah, in between Newcastle and Carlisle.
Excellent, excellent. So way up in the north, near the Hadrian's Wall and everything, isn't it?
Yes,
that's right.
But don't tell anybody.
Where Scotland used to start.
Yes, yeah, that's correct. We've got a lot of history there.
Yeah,
where I live, about that sort of
thing. I bet, very historic places. So, yeah. My friend, we're talking this evening about Paul McCartney, fake Macca, plastic Mac, rubber Paul. You contacted me a little while ago and said that you had some information about it. And so we thought we'd pre-record this little vignette so that we can play this in the show tonight. So I'm going to let you go for it.
Well, I've got my own interpretation of the story. I've changed my mind on several occasions. I've watched different documentaries, and I've been a Beatles fan since I was very little, and I'm very interested in music, and I'm also interested in the bigger picture of how governments and authorities try to manipulate popular culture. And so this story, when it came out on the internet, because I didn't really know about it before until I got into YouTube and things like that about 4 or 5 years ago. And so I watched I Am a Phony and his videos on the Paul is Dead theory. So I've sort of looked at different comments by different people, and I've formed an opinion. And I basically feel that there is something there in the story, but it's all just some kind of an occult deception to try and change history. You've got Paul McCartney, who appears to be still alive, and you've got all these backward recordings giving messages. That I find it very hard to believe that the musicians themselves were involved, but I can't prove that. I just feel that somebody else was playing around with the studio wizardry to get these weird occult evil messages out into the mainstream to affect the Beatles' image and to sort of cause a lot of confusion.
Interesting. So now we've heard about the Tavistock Institute and their connection with MI5, and this had a connection with the faking of Paul McCartney, as it were. The finding a new guy, the plastic surgery involved, the retraining of the voice, the retraining of the music. Do you think, Phil, that there's something really, really deeply weird has gone on with this, and I'm talking about the idea maybe of using time travel, because we've had time travelers on the show saying that they've actually travelled backwards and forwards in time. He's even got an internet post to prove it on MySpace. They possibly used that technology, which was available, certainly been available to the American Black projects, to mess around with things and to put things anachronistic, so that we can't really figure out what's going on.
Well, there's certainly a lot of confusion on the internet about what the truth really is, and disinformation and information and propaganda, predictive programming that's been going on for our lifetime since, well, the last two centuries and even further using different mediums. I don't actually believe in that time travel exists, but I haven't got any proof, which is my opinion. Because if they have got time travel, they can go ahead and get rid of us all, and then we wouldn't need to worry about the future then if there's nobody left, and then, you know, the job done for the New World Order.
Yeah, well, it's actually, turns out a lot more complicated than that, obviously.
It's not like Hollywood.
No, although Hollywood does reflect a lot of the black operations that we see. But anyway, let's go back to the timeline, right? Because this is the thing that's always confused me. Certainly since I've been investigating this particular artifact of history, which is that Paul McCartney, and as you say, and you've got a little document here, and as you say, the common story of the alleged death is that on the 9th of November, 1966, at 5 a.m., Paul McCartney, while working on the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club album, stormed out of a recording session after an argument with the other Beatles and rode off in his Austin Healey, which he subsequently crashed into a lamppost and died. Okay.
Can I comment on that?
Yeah.
That little bit. It's not like Paul McCartney, the Paul McCartney we knew, to just storm out like that. You want to, it'd be somebody else storming out. So that sort of fits in with the story that they wanted to project. The myth, they're interested, these people are satanic, they're interested in myths, fairy tales, they don't want to know about ordinary people and truth, and they just want to deceive, a bit like Aleister Crowley, you know, they're sort of offbeat characters who, you know, some of the things that they do is just not what ordinary people would do.
There is a big connection between Crowley and some of the later Beatles events, and particularly, you know, Crowley appears twice on the Sgt. Pepper album.
Yes, that's true.
Gathered Round the Grave, the idea that the backwards stuff is apparently Crowley's influence. Because they talk about learning to read and write backwards and forwards and you know, reading mirror writing and things like that. Which is interesting, because I used to play with that as a child.
I did a bit of that sort of funny.
Yeah, and I think we all do.
I enjoyed it.
We all do that.
I've done it since on the internet and stuff.
Yeah.
If I could look again at the bigger picture, the rock music, pop music industry itself, now, we never see their contracts that they allegedly, you know, have. So some of them find out later that there's something in the small print and they don't ruin their songs or something, or they get ripped off. You know, there's a few high-profile cases of that. So we don't know what the Beatles' contract was and how, you know, some people say they sell their soul to the devil. I mean, they actually signed themselves over to this industry who we don't know who they really are. We know who some of EMI are and Verity Lambert and people like that. But we don't know who the people are behind these very strange, murky, dark corridors of the music industry. And, I just wonder what George Harrison or John Lennon or anybody else did to get on the wrong side of them. If that's true, that they went against the contract. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, certainly when I watched the film that was made from the purported last tape that Harrison made, which is the you can buy it on DVD, and I actually went out and I actually bought it on DVD, it arrived. I was very pleased to watch it, and I quite enjoy the film. It's called Paul McCartney Really Is Dead, it was as known as The Last Testament of George Harrison, and the mysteries You see, to me, there's various mysteries of the Beatles. Number one is, why did they suddenly decide to go in the studio?
Yes.
That was really the biggest one. And then I always used to have, and it was a funny feeling, and I think we all have this funny feeling. When we look at the Beatles, the latter-day Beatles, there's a cognitive dissonance. Do you know what cognitive dissonance is?
Yes, people who deny the truth in the world that live in.
Yeah, and it's like
you're in front of them.
Well, what it was is that I would see this person, right? I would say, "Oh, there's John. That's obviously John, the guy with the glasses. And there's George, the guy with the nose and the long face. And then there was Ringo with the very big nose. And then who's that? Oh, it's Paul."
Mm.
And that little, you know, I forgot about it. I zoomed past it, and I think we all do. But I think everybody has that little cognitive dissonance moment. Is like, who's that? Oh, it's Paul. It's like, and you're, half of you are saying, "Oh, you silly boy! It's obviously Paul." But your other half is saying, "Who's that? I don't recognize that person. That's not Paul." And it took me a long while to actually stretch that little. That was a microsecond. It used to happen in a microsecond, and I really delved into it, like caught it as I was going through the thought processes. And I thought, all right, okay, that's part of the propaganda. We have been told that that's Paul, and we've been also told that you're stupid if you don't know. You know, Emperor's New Clothes thing.
The possibility of it seemed absurd at one time, but now we sort of know more about what they call the elite, satanic, Illuminati type entity or corporation, whatever you call them, the sort of the people, the dark hand, you know what I mean?
The hidden hand, as they know them.
What are their motives apart from wanting to control the world and destroy the world that they created? It's hard to get into their mindset, but that's what I tried to do. I tried to think, why are they doing this? Because they wanted to deceive people. But they would also do it just to see if they can get away with it. A bit like a lot of press releases and strange stories that you see in the news, and different policies that they implement in government and court cases that and things like that, murders and trafficking, everything they do, they do because they get away with it. They're not really bothered how many people are sacrificed in the process. And they're only interested in making money from it as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, money's one objective. Obviously, power is the main objective, which is control, and essentially they want to have a life. They want to have a nice, easy life with everybody working for them and nobody else being able to sort of move into that place. But really, if you try and get into their heads, you're going to enter a hall of mirrors that is incredibly traumatic. And this is what we found, you know, with the station that we're on, Radio Wolf Spirit Radio, we very, very strongly recognize PTSD as a very, very important factor in our personal and global histories.
Mm-hmm.
We're traumatized and then we're programmed from that trauma. And this is a technique that was developed and mastered by the Nazis in the concentration camps, who then brought over to Operation Paperclip. La-di-da-di-da. Anyway, loads of connections with that. But essentially, to try and get into these people's mindset is entering the mind of a psychopath. They do not think like we do. They really,
That's
really
true.
Don't. They really don't. And they don't have the same care and compassion that we do. And they basically make fun of us. You know, they laugh at us. And,
yes.
That's where they're at.
You just have to look at the ritual killings in the Manson murders and all of the trying to imitate the Beatles and things like that is just it's a whole other subject to cover, and it's the whole Laurel Canyon story is immersed in blood and sacrifice and deception and drugs and everything, any kind of hedonism you can think of. And that's that. Those people come from the so-called military industrial complex.
Absolutely.
If it's true what we see in print, but we can only make our own interpretation to say whether it's true or not.
Yes. Yeah. Right, okay, so first of all, I'd like to thank you, Phil, for contributing to this section of the program tonight. I hope you're around to listen and join in the chat room. And
thank you.
We'll catch you on another show. Thank you very much, Phil, Freethinker.
Thanks very much, dear. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. Yeah, that's my past self typing away there. I love that. It really nips my head sometimes. So that was his opinion. It doesn't agree with mine. I always like to have a group of opinions, not necessarily, you know, one against another, but you know, everybody's got their take on it. I do invite you to call in. If you have any opinion on this at all, if you think it's completely irrelevant, why you think it's irrelevant would be interesting to find out. But it would also be interesting to hear any stories that you might have heard about this, or whether it's, if anybody's interested in more detail. I would like to go into a bit more detail about it. But before that, I'd like to play a Beatles record backwards. This is... I can't even. It's very difficult to say this, so I'm not even going to say it. But it's the Beatles backwards. Where is it? I've lost it. Hang on. I have to get it. Which it's there, isn't it? Yes. Sorry about that. My system crashed earlier when I moved. I had everything prepared. And then that crashed, and I need to get it there. There it is. This is... No, I won't be able to pronounce it. It's Tomorrow Never Knows, backwards. Thank you.
This is Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh yeah, this is Wolf Spirit Radio. This is Ever Beyond, also on everbeyond.info and all points between. Yeah, so there was a bit of backwards Beatles for you. Not much revealing in that one, except that the little guitar parts, they were part of Taxman. So that's I don't know whether that was a sign of anything or is just a little bit of jumbled up bits of tape that they found on the cutting room floor and glued together and made a weird backing track. You know, it could be that simple, could be that, you know, innocent. But there are little clues all over the place, and this is the thing that our drummer used to say, you know, is that there's these clues. He used to kind of whisper like this, these clues. Like he's not wearing shoes on Abbey Road. There's Sergeant Pepper, and it's covered in all sorts of symbols and things, and how come there are three guys and they're standing next to a cardboard cutout? You know, that's not Paul McCartney's. That's a flat cardboard cutout that they're standing there. It's a photograph of Paul in a uniform that they're standing next to. You know, there's definite messages there. And then there's the Beatles all dressed in suits, you know, like the waxworks. And they're all dressed in suits looking down at the grave. Which, if you look at Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, you know, just Google it. You know, just Google cover Sergeant Pepper, and you'll see it. And you know, let me just go through some of the things that they talk about are clues. Supposedly, there's this hand that appears over Paul McCartney on all the covers in various forms, usually kind of just a kind of held up hand. A palm outwards, you know, just a flat palmed hand. There's another one on the cartoon album. I think that's I can't remember it. It was the one with the rainbow covers, and you know, it's like a cartoon rainbow cover. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, back to Sergeant Pepper. First of all, it looks like a grave. You know, if you look at it, and the graves contains the word the Beatles. And it doesn't say the Beatles. All the other albums used to say the Beatles. And now it's down to Beatles. And there are words that cross, you know, it's like one of these kind of hidden crosswords. And these phrases that cross the path. There is a left-handed, what is obviously a bass guitar made of flowers. And it's got four, you know, because it's got four sticks for strings. Not six, as a regular guitar would be. So it's obviously, and it's the shape of Paul McCartney's Hofner violin bass. And I'll be talking about the music later. And hopefully I'll be able to illustrate what I'm talking about. The Hofner violin bass that he used to play was a very distinct shape. You know, it was a violin, right? And so there's this wreath of flowers that is shaped like that. And also, incidentally, appears to read the word Paul, if you look at the way the flowers are arranged. A car that is kind of in a crash. There's a glove that is covered in blood, a white driving glove that is covered in blood. There's a doll. I don't know what the significance of the baby doll is. There's dolls all over the whole thing. Perhaps that's representing, you know, the falseness of Paul there. Anyone got any Tobias has written something backwards in there. This Wolf Spirit Radio. Oh, right. This is what this radio. It's Mjotia. Oh, very good. Very good. So, anyway, where were we? So, I suppose most people are now familiar with this idea, okay? And the question is, number one, why? You know, why bother? And also, why go through this whole procedure? Why would they bother to create a false Paul McCartney and to be carried on. This whole thing keeps going. It doesn't stop. It has to be a military secret. And this brings us right into War Spirit Radio Tech territory, you know, black operations. And we're not surprised at black operations. We're not surprised at plastic surgery. We're not surprised at cloning. We're not surprised at time travel. You know, there are various things that we're not surprised at. And we're certainly not surprised at doubles, you know. We've seen Saddam Hussein had loads of doubles. Well, it wasn't very difficult, you know, he's got an archetypal face. You know, that's the thing, that, you know, famous people have archetypal faces. You know somebody who looks like somebody who is famous, you know, that's because they have a face that sums up all the faces that look like that. Of course, you know, we have, you can sense the energy of someone. Well, certainly, you know, I've been learning how to do this, and this is what the rays are about. So I took the rays of various of the Beatles, and it turns out that Lennon and McCartney had this quality. They had this 1-2 soul group thing going, and that Lennon had a 1-2-6, and that kind of explained his kind of rather bolshy attitude. You know, he was kind of, you know, quite a lad, really. McCartney was a 1-2-4, which is an incredibly sensitive person. And it'd be somebody who really loved being loved, really enjoyed the thing about being, you know, being everybody's favourite, you know. When I take the rays of the man who is currently being Paul McCartney, I'm getting a 3-4-7, which is an entirely different kettle of fish. This is a master chameleon. In fact, probably, you know, very very likely to be a dark magician with that psychic fourth ray and the magical seventh ray. So it appears that there are certain things that he's been involved in, we have been told, are unsavoury. But least of all, carrying on in the shoes of a dead man after all these years. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. So let's have a look at some of the kind of Paul then and Paul later. And I'd like to talk about the music. Now, I'm a musician, as everybody knows, because I go on about it. I'm very, you know, I'm in a covers band, which means that we have to listen to records and play them the same way that they play them, the music on the records. So I've got quite a good ear. And I can listen to the bass line and hear how the bass line is going and, you know, pick all these things out. So when I started learning about this, I thought, oh, this is interesting. So what I want to do is to see if I can find some early Paul McCartney playing bass and some later Paul McCartney playing bass. So let's have a go. What have we got here? Right, so let's go to... I shouldn't have done that. Right. We're going to go to the night before, if my computer is going to work for me, because I think I might have made it crash. But let's see. Right, there we go. We can get that. And so I just want you to listen to the bass and to feel, you know, listen and feel to what the bass is doing there.
Like you did the night before. Were you- Yes, you know it's true. Hope you need my love, babe, just like I need you. Hold me, love me, hold me. Oh dear, what can I do? Baby's in black and I'm feeling blue. Tell me, oh, what can I do? She thinks of him, and so she dresses in black. And though he'll never come back, she's dressed in black.
Okay, so that was an example of early Beatles, and the bass line is very much... It flows with the way the drums do it. It kind of fits in with the drumming, and it's quite gentle. It's a do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do kind of thing. What I'd like to illustrate is this element disappears after a while, and another element comes in. And I'd like to see if I can find where it is that it does come in. But one very distinct... let me see. It's all... Right, let's see this. This is now 1967, and this is Fixing a Hole. Have a listen to... Have a listen to what the bass is doing, and also the overall rhythm of the song, and where it's being driven, how the song's being driven, if you can hear this kind of thing.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering where it will go. I'm feeling the... For the benefit of Mr. Kite, there will be a show tonight on trampoline. The Hendersons will all be there, later Pablo Bank is there. What a scene of men and horses, hoops and guns. Better all the time. I used to get mad at my school.
I can't complain.
Teachers that taught me weren't cool.
I can't complain.
Holding me down, turning me round, filling me up with your rules. I've got to admit, it's getting better. We'll be right back.
So I've now finally found a couple of things that that actually support my theory. That particularly that last one, that is Paul singing, and now everybody's used to his voice now as Paul McCartney. You know, we had Hey Jude and all that, it's the signature is there. Okay, so what I'm trying to point out is if you listen to the last song, I'm just going to replay a bit and just have a listen.
Why don't we do it in the road? Why don't we do it in the road?
Right, so you're hearing him playing on the piano, dun, 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 and you hear him playing on the bass, bam, 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 bam. Okay, so Gone is this kind of doom, be doom, be doom, which was it was very gentle, and now it's incredibly rhythmic. Dun, 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 dun. Now, this, okay, I mean, it could be, you know, he suddenly one day woke up and changed styles. But I don't remember the early Paul McCartney ever playing the piano. And the way the later Paul McCartney can play the piano is like a real pro. In fact, like a boogie-woogie piano player, like the keyboard player from The Doors. Now, it takes years to play piano like that, you know, just being able to play one thing with your left hand and one, you know, it takes a certain amount of piano skill. And it's not like he was brought up with it. I mean, his father was all this stuff, but he didn't play the piano, right? Whenever they wanted someone to play the piano, they got George Martin to play the piano. Listen to In My Life. You know? So what I'm saying is, like, where did that piano come from, and where did that down, what we call a pedestrian beat, down? Now, let's see if I can play a selection of later Beatles songs that have this down thing going on, and you might get the idea. In fact, you know, many people recognize that. That's the Beatles, they say. You know, if you listen to these, you know, these songs, I can't find Strawberry Fields Road. It's not. I've got a discography album, a discography of all the Beatles, and I haven't got Strawberry Fields Forever on it because it's all the albums and it's not the singles. Anyway, meanwhile, let's see. Right, okay, here's a bit of the piano. Martha, my dear. Thank you.
conversation, please. Remember me, Martha, my love. Don't forget me, Martha, my dear. Hold your head up, you silly girl. Look what you've done. Take a good look around you. Take a good look around to see that you and me were meant to be each other, silly girl.
His wife then. Nothing to say, but what a day. How's your boy been? Nothing to do, it's up to you.